So today being the Super Bowl Sunday, it's the 59th Super Bowl. It's between the Chiefs and the Eagles. That's about all much I know about that today. But I bring this up because I kind of want to share the difference between being a fan or a follower of whatever it is you're doing. You know, if you're rooting for the someone in sports, are you a fan? Are you a follower? Well, I can honestly say I'm a fan of the Bears. I'm definitely not a follower because I get mad because they've lost so many games and they've made so many mistakes. So I'm definitely going to say it right out now. I am only a fan. I am not a follower. So that being said, I have two sons, though, who are definitely followers. Oh, Mom, don't be so hard on them. You know, they'll come around. They'll come around. Well, I think I was in my early 20s when they came around, and they did pretty good. Refrigerator, I don't know what, Rosie, whatever his name. Okay, what was a couple other ones? Name a few other ones in the Bears group. McMahon, yeah. Who? Okay, she's a follower of the Bears, aren't you? Judy's a follower. Who else is a follower of the Bears? We got a few of them? Oh, well, I'm going to be honest. I'm just a fan. Don't you get a little discouraged with them, too, the Bears? Yeah, okay. But you can still be a follower. So I want to show this, and I thought, this is perfect for today. You know, it says here, Sunday is like being in the locker room. The rest of the week is like playing the game. Well, isn't that what it's like for the Bears or for the Chiefs or the Eagles? They go into the locker room. They get ready for the game that they're going to play in a little bit. Now, when they go to the locker room, what are they expecting? What do they go in there for? To prepare themselves, not just get their gear on, but they're in there to get themselves psyched up for the game. You know, I'm the man. You know, that's what they go in there for. But they also go in there to get strategies, right? Well, us as Christians, we're in our locker room. We're in the locker room today. I see you're all pumped up and you all got your gear on. So we're in here to get what? We're in here to get the word, which is the strategy that we're going to use when we get out there on the field. And it says it here, it says, when you get into the game. Getting out there and sharing this gospel is no game. It's serious stuff. So when we get out there, we're in the field. We're on the front lines. But in order to get in the field and get on the front lines, what do we first have to do? We have to get the strategy. But not up here. Here. It's got to be here. Because that's when you say, hey, I want to get out there and help you. I want to, because I want to be more like Christ. So I thought this was a good type and shadow, or, you know, an idea similar to what today is all about for Super Bowl Sunday. That this is our locker room. Let's take advantage of while we're in the locker room. Let's take what we need so when we get out in the field, when we get out in the front line, we're prepared just like those players are going to be prepared today. They're going to give their all. You know they will. Some of them will go out of there with broken bones. Or how many of them? Probably 90% of them. You guys would probably know a lot more about this. Maybe Judy does too. But a lot of these football players, they're miserable by the time they're 70, 80 years old because they've beaten their bodies. Their bodies have been beaten on for how many decades? For a skinned pig. So, we're going to get knocked down. We're going to get discouraged. But if we've got this in us, the strategy, then we're going to have all that we need. God said that He would give us all that we needed. He's not going to leave us out there to do it on our own. That's the Holy Spirit. It's been put in all of us. He gives us what we need. So, God never wants a fan. He doesn't want a fan. He wants someone who's going to follow. The difference between Fan and follower are these things. Fans are comfortable. Followers are committed. Fans are consumers. Followers are contributors. Fans sit in the stands. Followers get in the game. Fans are spectators. Followers are participators. Doesn't that sound like us as Christians? Are we going to be a fan who watches, looks on? Or are we going to be one of those that are going to participate? I remember when George and I would go into New York on missions, and we would go into some of the bad parts of town and minister the gospel while our Christian band was playing on the stands. And we'd walk down the streets, and people would be coming out of their houses or apartments. And I was new at this, witnessing to people. I was new, so I sat back and I watched my husband and a bunch of other people do it, because I didn't know how to do it. I'd never done it before. And I was really gun shy. I didn't know how to do it. So I was more of a spectator instead of a participant. And God expects that for someone who's a young Christian. He expects that. But as you grow in this, when you grow more in this, you begin to trust Him more. The more you trust Him, the more you say, I don't want to be just a spectator anymore. I want to be a participator. So there's the difference there. Fan is part-time. Yeah, I might feel like it tomorrow. I might feel like going to church tomorrow, but I don't know. Maybe I won't. So fans are part-time. Followers are full-time. Fans follow the crowd. Followers follow Christ. Fans only listen to the word. Followers practice the word. Fans live by their feelings. Followers live by faith. Fans only want a blessing. Followers embrace burdens. Lastly, fans only want to wear a crown. Followers will carry their cross. Now, a fan of God is someone who admires or supports the concept of God, but might not actively follow or live by His teachings. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. While a follower of God is someone who is actively commits himself, his life, according to God's principles and God's teachings, demonstrating a deeper level of dedication to God because of the way they walk out their life, okay? Essentially, a fan is a casual admirer, while a follower is actively engaged in the practice of their faith. Just like Cheryl, when she texted that I am standing on a remission, a healing, and a miracle. What is she doing? She's practicing her faith. She's stepping out in her faith. What's the difference? A follower is willing to become more like Christ in every area, while a fan of Jesus simply admires and respects the message. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow. Follow me. The only thing I didn't look up on Google is how many times follow is in the book of the Bible. You want to look? Can you pull that up on your Google, Caroline? How many times the word follow is in the Bible? I want to share a story, true story, about Babe Ruth, since we're on sports today. Now, we know, Babe Ruth. How many of you know a little bit of history on Babe Ruth? Bruce, a little bit?
A little bit.
Who else knows a little bit about Babe Ruth?
Played in 1926, 27.
Okay. And Lois, you like baseball, so I'm sure you've got a little history on, you're kind of a history buff with him, right? Well, he was a good hitter. What else was he good at besides a hitter? Was he a good runner?
He was actually started as a pitcher.
He did.
Okay. All right. So in this story, it talks about in his career, he was at the peak of his batting career or his playing career. But then he started striking out. In fact, he was striking out more than he was hitting, right? Isn't that what happened? So eventually, he goes plays this game in Cincinnati one day, and after striking out, the fans start to boo him loudly on the bleachers, in the stands. And as Babe Ruth starts back to the dugout, Suddenly, a little boy from the stands jumps down off the stands, runs up, grabs him by the leg with tears. The little boy's got tears running down his face. Because the people are booing this man who gave and devoted his life to what he was doing. And this little boy, a little boy, not an adult, a little boy sees the hurt this man was going through, being booed by everyone in the stands. The little boy jumps off the stands, jumps up, grabs him by the leg. His tears are coming down his face. Babe Ruth picks him up, brings him up, puts him in his arms, and he's talking to this little boy, and they're walking back to the dugout together. And in that scene, that scenario, now you can picture that in your mind, can't you? That he's got this little boy, and can you imagine, I'm wondering if Babe Ruth had a few tears himself. Because that little boy, not so much for himself, but for that little boy, how emotionally he was wrapped up in this man, and how he felt so bad for this man being booed and humiliated. And do you know what happens? As he's taking that little boy back to the dugout, about halfway through, the booing stopped. And everybody in that stadium all stood up in silence to show tribute to this man and to this little boy. But that's a fan. One minute, they're booing you, and the next minute, they're giving you a tribute. I ask you today, which are you? Are you a follower or are you a fan? That's what happened to Jesus. He came into Jerusalem and they wanted to make him king. And 5 days later they were shouting what? Crucify him. Were they followers or were they a fan? Today, we're going to talk about the difference of different aspects of being a fan and a follower. Our mission as being followers are these four, out of Luke 10:24. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And that's number one. Number two, bring others. Get out on the field. Don't stay in the locker room. Get out on the field and save others. Give them the knowledge of who Christ is and that he can be their Savior just as much as he is yours. Number three, grow to become all God wants us to be. Number four, lastly, send others to God, to God's work. Encourage them in their walk with God. Back them up. Be with them. Show them that love and let them know that they're not in it alone. Show them what a follower is, not a fan. Imagine us, all of us, maybe sitting at Lloyd's down in Magnolia and having a cup of coffee together. Wouldn't that be cool if we all did that, just set up a date? And all of us went down to Lloyd's in Magnolia and just had a cup of coffee down there. We should do that. We'll have to talk about that. She'll be totally stunned. But anyway, we're down at Lloyd's and we're having a cup of coffee, and this guy comes walking in with this white gown and a blue sash over his front of him. Well, we know it's Jesus. This is what Jesus says as he comes up to one of us, or maybe to all of us. Like, could I have all your attention, please? That's what he's saying. This is what he says. It's time for us to define our relationship. Is it just a casual weekend thing that we got going on here between you and me, or can we go to a different level? Are we on the level of commitment? Are we? Most of us would say, of course, I'm committed. I'm committed. I think of all the obvious indicators that I'm a committed Christian. I'm a follower. Here's what we might see as an indicator. Are you ready? I go to church. I raise my hand at the end of the sermon for the blessing. I stand and I sing for every worship song during service. I own three or more Bibles. I've grown up in the church, and in fact, I've gone to vacation Bible school. My ringtone on my phone has a Christian song and a hymn, a worship song. My T-shirts, they all say something about God, or they show how much I love God. Or I express my religion and how I'm committed on Facebook of being a Christ follower. And I'm not saying these to make a joke. These are all good things. We should do all these things. But are we followers or are we fans? I thought about that when I read that. I found that in a daily devotional. And I thought about that and I'm going, what are some of the things that you say that don't speak life, Bonnie? Does that tell you that you're a follower or a fan? And it's not that, like, I never badmouth God or anything like that. But, and it's not that I badmouth anybody. But maybe I could have been, instead of saying something a little negative, I should have been saying something positive or encouraging about that individual. I'm guilty. Would Christ do that? No. It says in John 6, a large crowd, thousands of people were listening to Jesus as he was teaching near the Lake of Galilee. And at the end of the day, Jesus decided to feed them. We all know the story, right? We know the story where the little boy comes along and offers the fish and the loaves, his happy meal of the day, and ends up feeding 5,000 people, not counting women or children, of course. And when people saw that what Jesus had done, they were so impressed, they were going to make him king right there on the spot. Right? Imagine having a king who supplies all the happy meals you need. But Jesus knew what was in their heart. He knew what was in their heart. He knew what they were thinking. So he slips away. He slips away from the area. So the next morning, the crowd realized that Jesus wasn't there and went looking for him. They found him on the far side of the Lake of Galilee, and they asked Jesus for another happy meal. But Jesus makes it clear that they are looking for the wrong thing. So it says in, again, John chapter 6, verses 26, 27, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You will want to be with me because I fed you. I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs, but don't be so concerned about the perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. He's giving them now not the milk of the Word. He's giving them some of the meat of the Word, trying to see if they can grab a hold of it. So when Jesus talks about the bread of life that gives life, that they say, give us bread every day. And then it goes on in verse 35, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never thirst again. Of course, this is not what the people wanted to hear. They began to grumble. So let me ask you this, were they fans or were they followers? We know they were fans. It goes on in 51 and 55 of John chapter 6. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Now that's again the meat of the Word. Because you're saying, oh, literally we're supposed to eat his flesh and drink his blood? And then it goes on, it says, I will raise that person at the last day, for my flesh is the true food, the blood is the true drink. What he's saying is, I went to the cross. I did what was necessary so that you could have life, eternal salvation. All you have to do is take from that what I have already sacrificed. So when the crowd heard this, what are they thinking? This man's talking crazy stuff. It goes on in verses 66 and 68. At this point, many of the disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 that were still there and asked them, are you going to also leave? And I love what Peter says. Simon Peter says this. And there's no way that he could have said this on his own. This was an anointing. This came through him from the Holy Spirit. This is what Peter says. Lord, to whom would we go? In other words, we know who you are. You are the Messiah. Where else would we want to go but here with you? I'm sure his mind was telling him, hey, the man's talking crazy stuff here. And yet you want to stick around? So let me ask you, is Simon Peter a follower or is he a fan? A follower. The fan deserts him. The fans deserted him. Those who wanted to make him king yesterday are what? They're grumbling today. What's interesting is Jesus did not chase them down when they left and say, hey, I was just kidding. Come on back. Come on back. I was just clowning around with you. Can't you take a joke? No. He was thinning out the crowd. He was letting them say, okay, if that's what you believe, I wash my hands of you. That's your faith? That's what you want to believe? You don't want to be a follower? You just want to be a fan? I love you. I will love you forever. No matter what choice you make, I will still love you. But see, he was thinning out the crowd. Another example of this is out of Luke 14. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciples, you must hate everyone else by comparison. In other words, you must put me first before your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, anyone. I must come first. Then your family is what he's saying here. In comparison, your father, your mother, your wife, your children, brothers, sisters, yes, even your own life, I must be put first. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Doesn't sound like that scripture I just read earlier out of Luke 9? So were they followers or fans? It wasn't just crowds that Jesus challenged. He challenged, in Luke 18, a young ruler. The young ruler said to Jesus, who was so devoted to what Jesus was saying, he goes, oh, I've kept all the commandments since I was a boy, he tells Jesus, this young, rich ruler. He's told Jesus just this. And Jesus says, you know, and I'm sure that when the disciples heard this young man say this to Jesus, they're like, let's sign this guy up. He can be a part of us. He's rich, and he says that, you know, he has I've kept all the commandments since I was a boy. This is the kind of guy we need. Sign him up, Jesus, sign him up. But see, Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew the man's heart. So he says to him, so sell all of your possessions, he tells the young rich man, and give the money to the poor, then come follow me. And this is what the young ruler says back. He couldn't let go of his stuff. He couldn't follow because it wasn't in his heart. He couldn't do it. And if you know that you're still hanging on to the stuff or the past or the good times, then you're not letting go of all of it. Isn't it what we just read earlier in John chapter 6, that we're to put him first? But he was putting his stuff first. It says, the young man walked away sad. He couldn't let go of his stuff. He couldn't follow with his whole heart. He was a fan. I'm sure the disciples were thinking, Jesus, we could use this guy. Don't turn him away. No, Jesus didn't turn him away. He walked away freely. Think about it. Those 12 disciples left everything. All that rich man had to do was the same thing. Now, in closing, this last page, I want to talk about a follower is loyal during the ups and downs and the circumstances of life. They're in it for the long haul. Whereas fans don't want to get too close, because that requires time, effort, that they have to give. So here are some followers of Christ. Of course, we know the 12 disciples were followers of Christ. How about the woman at the well? I'm going to ask you guys, if you say that, I'm going to say these, and I'm going to ask you if you think they were followers or fans. Are you ready? So the woman at the well, was she a follower or was she a fan? She was a follower. When Jesus met her at the well, what was the first thing? She met him, and he told her about her past, and he showed her that he still loved her and he forgave her. She went instantly back to the town, to the village, and she said, "I've got to tell you, the Messiah, I've met the Messiah." And she tells everyone about who he was and what he did for her. So yes, she was a follower. How about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. The Lord passed by and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there, because I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today." And he did go to his house. And Zacchaeus built up a relationship, even though the Pharisees, the Sadducees, saw him in the house of a tax collector, a sinner. A tax collector who was taking dibs off the top of those taxes and making himself a rich man. But once he got to know Jesus, Zacchaeus says, "I will pay back double to those I have stolen from. I will return back what I have done." Was he a fan or a follower?
Follower.
How about Mary Magdalene? Was she a fan or a follower?
Follower.
Okay. All right, let's listen to this one. Now, some of you are going to be like, "No, wait a minute on these next two." I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to ask you what you want. I want your feedback. In John 19:38, John calls Nicodemus. John, the disciple of Jesus, John called Nicodemus a follower of Christ, who was a member of the Jewish council who sought Jesus at night to inquire about his teachings, because Nicodemus knew that if he did it in the public or in the light of day, that he was going to be seen by the Sanhedrin and that he would be frowned upon and he would be judged for talking to what they thought it was a crazy man. Well, actually, they thought he was a demon himself. Right? Okay, let's go to the next one, then we're going to touch back on this other. So Joseph of Arimathea, who was a wealthy man and esteemed member of the Jewish council as well, of the Sanhedrin, the highest religious court in Judaism, despite the risk involved in his elevated status, Joseph is most noteworthy, which you did not know this. I knew what he had done, but I didn't know that he was so noteworthy of this, for his courageous act of requesting the body of Jesus Christ from Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, after the crucifixion. I didn't know that it was so noted that everyone knew that Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Christ. Everybody knew that. But not only did he do that, Joseph provided his own new tomb where he was supposed to be buried when he died. He took that new tomb and he put Jesus in that new tomb. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, ready for this, were secret followers of Christ. And you think about that. Yeah, but Pastor Bonnie, that young ruler, he wanted to participate, but he didn't want to give up his stuff. Couldn't he have been like a secret follower too? Not necessarily. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were secret followers of Jesus. They kept their following a secret for fear of the persecution by the Jewish political council of the Sanhedrin. But you know what? Just like Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene did separate. She went in hiding, if you want to use that word, after the crucifixion of Christ. But like Nicodemus and like Joseph of Arimathea and Mary Magdalene, the three of them still went out and they still shared the story, the gospel. They still did that. They still went out into the field and did what they were called to do. They played their best, just like the guys are doing today in the Super Bowl. Those three people, Mary and Joseph and Nicodemus, they did all that they could do to spread the gospel. So yes, they were followers of Christ. I want to close with this prayer, and then I also want to start doing a quote of the day, because I want you to think about this quote to encourage you. And I'm going to try to do this as much as I can on Sunday. But let's go ahead and close with prayer. Father, thank you for your mercy and for your love in our life. Thank you for your faithfulness. We want to be followers, not fans, but followers of you. Not just on a part-time basis. Help us to define, yes, Lord, help us to define and help us to see our relationship as honestly and biblically as you would want us to see it. Just like he thinned out the crowd. He showed them, you're either hot or you're cold. I will spew you out if you sit on the fence. I will spew you out. But if you are hot or cold, you know that you are either hot or cold. So it makes you see yourself. So Father, help us see ourselves. Help us to realize, are we hot? Are we cold? Are we sitting on the fence? And if we are fans, if we are sitting on the fence, help us to get over on the other side where we are your followers. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. And with that, I want to share this quote with you. God's delays are not denials. They're just red lights turning green at the right time. Can you envision that? Being in your car and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting for that red light to turn green. But you know if you run the red light, you're going to get hit. So it's not the right time. But as soon as that red light changes to green, you're safe to go. So when we're going through seasons and we feel like there's a red light, we need to wait and wait and wait. And when that green light comes, you'll feel a peace within you and you'll feel a nudging from the Holy Spirit to say, now you can go. The light's green. Go for the long haul. Be followers of Christ.